Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Tetzaveh. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Tetzaveh. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. BeliefNet.com is, in my opinion, one of the most interesting and entertaining online religious sites. It has news, articles, and chat rooms that deal with all the religions and all of them in a very, very open atmosphere. So I was very, very pleased when I found a questionnaire on the site that helps a person to choose the most suitable religion for them. This, I thought, is something I would like to do, and so after answering questions on different topics, I was most surprised to find out that instead of Judaism being the religion most suited to me, I received the following suggestions. Unitarian Universalism, 100%. That means it's the most appropriate for me. Liberal Quaker, 97%. Baha'i, 95%. Buddhism, 89%. And Sikhism, 79%. Judaism was much, much lower. The proposals added a warning. BeliefNet does not take any responsibility for the eternal destiny of our souls. And so with this in mind, it was with great trepidation that I looked at Parashat Tetzaveh, and I was aware of broader implications and interpretations than usual. The major issue in our parasha is the priestly garments. And today what I'd like to do is to compare very superficially the Catholic approach, a religion according to BeliefNet.com, which does not suit me at all, and the Quaker approach, which to clothing, and Quakerism is a religion according to BeliefNet.com, very appropriate to me. Catholic priests, as many of us know, dress in vestments when they engage in holy work. The purpose of this clothing is to separate the priest from others, a reminder that God has chosen him to be a link between people and God, and also to serve as a link between the Lord and humans. Vestments are a sacrament, and in the Catholic religion, this means that their purpose is to inspire good thoughts and devotion in both the priest and his audience. On the other hand, the Quaker religion emphasizes liberal values and directs each person to find their personal way to God. There's no priesthood, there's no clergy, there's not even organized prayer, there's no church. Rather, what one has is a house of prayer called a meeting house where people gather together and sit quietly. Whenever an individual experiences the Holy Spirit, that person will express to others how and what he or she feels. So you have to wait until the Spirit moves you. Today, many Quakers dress like their contemporaries, but it wasn't always like this. The Quaker religion has an idea of plain, which means simple and modest. The purpose of a garment is not to be pleasant to the eye, but to be humble and to protect against heat and cold. So when Quakers did dress differently from others, the emphasis was on muted colors, like gray and brown. They were not allowed to buy new clothes until you really could not wear the old ones. And there was an expression that a Quaker woman always wears clothes that were in fashion 10 years ago. As with the Catholic priest, ironically, the clothing created a barrier between Quakers and non-Quakers, but of course here it was for a different reason. Interestingly, these two religions echo Judaism in many ways, and Judaism also serves as an echo to them. The purpose and the role of clothing of the Catholic clergy is quite similar to that of the Kohen in our parasha, giving authority to those who lead the worship service, evoking religious thoughts, and creating a special atmosphere. And the clothing of the Quakers is quite similar to those Jews today who greatly emphasize modesty. It is very strange what's going on. How can it be that there are two such different directions in the Jewish world? I can understand if we're talking about two different religions, Quakerism and Catholicism, but here we have these two trends in the same system. So here are some ways to think about it. The first approach says that it is a matter of time and context. As long as the temple existed, it was appropriate to emphasize the royal aspect of special clothing. Today, without a Beit HaMikdash, we should emphasize the values of modesty. A second approach says that it's a matter of intent. In addition to creating authority, evoking good thoughts, and creating a suitable atmosphere, the purpose and the temple and priestly garments was to bring the divine presence from heaven down to us. As our parsha teaches us, V'kidashti et ohel moed ve'et hamizbeach, I will make the tent of meeting and the altar holy. Ve'et Aaron ve'et banav ekadesh, I will make holy Aaron and his sons, lekahen li, so that they will serve me as kohanim. V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, v'ayiti lahem lelokim, and I will dwell amongst the people of Israel, and I will be for them God. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem, I am the Lord, their God. Asher hotzeti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took them out of Egypt. L'shachni b'tocham, what was the purpose of Egypt? L'shachni b'tocham, so I can dwell within them. Ani Hashem Elokechem. The purpose of the Kohanim is to take this godliness and bring it down. And therefore, if I dress in a fancy way for the sake of heaven, fine. If not, better to dress modestly. It depends on what the purpose and the aim is. To be 100% honest, Judaism, and in this way we are similar to many other religions, has not discussed sufficiently the role of aesthetics in general for a religious person and aesthetics vis-a-vis clothing in general. Those discussions that we do have are usually around modesty and, with few exceptions, not about what authentic Jewish dress might look like. From my own experience, I can say that more and more people are turning to religious sources to find guidance on these questions. The type of questions we may want to ask ourselves include the following. The ultra-Orthodox world emphasizes dressing in a way as to clearly identify who they are. Modern Orthodox and some others content themselves with a few powerful signs while dressing more or less like others. But is Jewish dress something all Jews need? Where would one go to find authentic Jewish dress? The temple period? New fashions? Does the conformity in dress that we see in the Orthodox world actually help to serve God, or can it sometimes suppress the individual? Is there a way to dress Jewishly and creatively? Does the necessity of religious Jews looking different from others help them serve God better, or does it build a barrier between religious Jews and society as a whole? Is modest dress still a Jewish value? If so, what is the appropriate modest dress for our times? How can we educate for modesty without making people disdain or degrade their bodies? How can I use my dress not only for my personal aesthetic, but for the sake of heaven, as the priest did in the temple? Many questions, which I throw out for us to think about. I talk today about other religions, and you can relax. Despite the advice of BeliefNet.com, I have not converted and will continue to give podcasts, but I do think a comparative approach can help people make personal decisions on issues such as dress. Dress is a highly charged subject in the West and an opportunity for religions to learn something from each other. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkurs. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.